You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Thank you, team, both behind me and in front of me. I really do appreciate your setup and your passion for God and serving. And church is full. Look at this. Wow, that's a good thing. God's obviously blessing you guys. Hello, Sun Life.
Hello.
Is anybody out there?
Hello.
I can't see you.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Already.
Already. Something with the leg thing, isn't it? Yeah, you've got to get that going. Thank you, Lord. So, it's a joy and a privilege to be amongst you today. And I just want to humble myself under God's mighty hand that you may be lifted up by his word and truth and spirit to enjoy transformational change and breakthrough in the year 2025. Lord, bless these people in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. My text today is probably a little bit well known. It comes from the book of Hosea. It's chapter 10, verse 12. It says this: sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, and break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Who plays golf? Come on, confess up, fess up. Who would like to play golf? I have a dilemma because when I play golf, I quite enjoy the game. It's a good excuse for a walk, usually a bush walk in my case. But when I'm hitting the ball, whoosh, and sometimes it goes off to the left, way off to the left, that's called a pull, okay? When I hit the ball, whoosh, sometimes it spears off to the right. That's called a slice. And when I hit the ball, whoosh, and it goes straight down the fairway, that's what they call a miracle. And some of us are in need of miracles. We are facing challenges that are beyond our natural resources, beyond our natural wisdom, and we need God to come in his goodness and his kindness and his grace for miracles. So it's the beginning of a new year. Happy blue year. No, happy new year. In the Chinese astrological calendar, they call this the year of the dragon, of which they say symbolizes chaos. And when you look at the world today, amen, it's not in good shape, is it? We're looking at Australia, or the Gaza, or Ukraine, or the world economies with the pound crashing, the Australian dollar crashing, the incredible debt that nations now owe. This is potentially a year of chaos. But thank you, Jesus. He is in your boat no matter what storms we may face. Amen? So today we're going to take this simple little text to see how we might be able to get a wonderful 2025. Who wants a good year?
Yeah.
Two of you do. Fantastic. Thanks for coming, Mum. Thank you. We all want a good year. Who, you know, 2024 was a hard year for us as a family. You know, my daughter suffered a terrible divorce, incredibly disappointing, subject to violence restraining orders and violence and a whole bunch of mess and stuff. My wife has some chronic health conditions, really quite serious. 2024 wasn't a great year, but I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is a good God. And with faith, we can access all the benefits that Jesus died for. He paid the price for our sin and our suffering all those years ago. And part of what I want to do is to give you something of a biblical recipe for turning chaos into order. At its kernel, at its core, all what God wants to do, through whether it's the Ten Commandments or life in the Spirit, is to take the chaos and bring kingdom order at every level. Where there is anger, you, through your life in Jesus, can bring forgiveness and kindness. Where there's chaos, you can bring the order. Where there is depression, you can bring the joy. Where there is the concern, you can bring the peace, because that is the life of God. And that life of God is in you as you believe and trust in the Word of God. Some people have the attitude, I will never make a New Year's resolution because they're too hard to keep. I made a New Year's resolution last year and I've kept it for the whole year. I'm really proud of myself. Yeah, come on, come on. I kept my New Year's resolution, which was to make no more New Year's resolutions. Found that one particularly easy to keep. The problem is not with our aspirations. The problem's a little bit more with our preparations. Problem's not with the aspirations. The problem is a little bit more with the perspirations. You can predict your future much more than what you think you can. You are where you are today because of the decisions that you have made, the books that you've read, the experiences of life bring you to this moment today. Amen? Yeah. Well, if that's true, that means you can also have a great deal of influence over where you can be in a year's time by the decisions you make and by the books you read and by the experience that you have. Amen? We are a product so much of those decisions. Now, just to be fair, it's not all on you. Because we have to share this world with idiots. Sorry, did I say that? We have to share this world with other people who also sow seed, that also have influence over your life. But that doesn't mean you can't have a lot of control over your life. I'll give you a little bit of an analogy that might help you. Life is a little bit like getting a driver's license. Who's got a driver's license? A few of you have, fantastic. I'm feeling safe already. You get your driver's license. You get to choose the car you drive, amen? To some degree. You get to choose how you drive. Yes. You get to choose whether you drive drunk or not. Yes. You do, don't you? No one actually gets you onto the ground and pours a bottle of grog into you. You know, say, you've got to drink this. No one does that. You get to choose whether you drink grog. You get to choose whether you speed. You get to choose whether you're trying to show off to your mates and doing donuts. So that's a little bit like what life is. You actually have a lot of control over your life, but you do share the road with others. You with me? But if you're driving defensively, if you're driving, you know, within the speed limit, if you're driving, you know, fully alert, lots of coffee helps me. If you drive your seatbelt on, then the possibility of you getting into trouble and getting other people seriously injured as well is much lower. But you do have to share the road with others who may not be as responsible. But the idea is, don't then give up on the idea of, well, since there are lots of crazy people out on the road, so many idiots and not enough bullets, I'm going to drive like an idiot too. That's not the answer. The answer is, I will wise up, say wise up.
Wise up.
I'll wise up and I will do things that will help me be a better driver and a safer driver, which will make the world safer and the roads a lot safer as well. So you do get to choose. You have much more power over your future than what you might perceive. You've perhaps heard the saying, all's well that ends well. Let me just change that around a little bit by saying, all's well that begins well. If you want a great 2025, I'm going to suggest you don't get to the end of 2025 and says, what happened? I'm going to say, why not front load that with some things that are going to set you up to predictable success. Guaranteed. Money back guarantee. If you sow the right things, if you do the right things in January 2025, and you're consistent with that, then you will be in a different place, a blessed place. You'll level up because of what you've done at the beginning of the year. Can you say amen? Amen. So all's well that begins well. And so our text, Hosea 10, verse 12, says, "Sow yourselves in righteousness." So here's the idea of taking seed and put it into your soil. Now, I don't want to call anybody a dirtbag. That would be very insulting. But that's what we are. You take the blood away, you've just got the mud left. We are blood, mud creatures. And the Bible talks about putting seed into our lives in so many different ways. And of course, this book here is called the very seed, the imperishable, the indestructible seed of God. God's word is seed. I wish I could just go right now like this. Whoa! And throw seed over you all and get the marigolds and the daffodils and all those wonderful things to grow. That's our job to do. Sow to yourselves righteousness. Sow to yourselves the word of God. Thank God for Pastor Ben as an outstanding preacher of the word, but he can only do so much. Every Sunday we try to sow the word of God into you. Amen? But the text actually says, sow to yourselves seed. Because here's the deal. You can sit and listen and say amen, but be in a position where you don't go away and do anything. Zig Ziglar, very famous Christian motivational speaker of the last century when I was born, the last millennium when I was born. No, we didn't have dinosaurs. But there wasn't the internet. Oh, young people, no internet. He tells of a story where this lady's come to one of his seminars, and it was quite an expensive motivational speaker to come listen to. And she was saying to Mr. Ziglar, "Mr. Ziglar, I have a problem. I'm working for this firm. They don't appreciate me. You know, I'm always getting the bad jobs." And she just grumbles and complains about everything, you see. And he says to the lady, "Look, I can help you a lot. Can you take out a pad right now? And I'm just going to give you 10 things that you need to do." And she just says, "Yeah, okay, go." And he says, "No, I've found that in most cases, if you don't do the first thing, you never do the second thing. If you don't take out your notebook now, and if you don't write them down now, I can almost guarantee you, you won't do anything else." So this is our challenge, is how do we get you, my brothers and sisters, over the hump of, "I agree, but I'm going to go home and do nothing." Because the Bible is very clear that the word of God must be accompanied together with faith. If you don't have faith that's accompanied with action, if you don't do it, it can't help you. It sits on the shelf, it gathers dust, it might even be in your thinking somewhat, but you've actually got to do something in order to activate your faith. How do you know you've got faith? It's when you do something that aligns with what you believe in God for. Many years ago, I was in my first church, just trying to get over my Messiah complex, thinking I could help everybody. And this young man comes out for prayer and he says, "Pastor, will you pray for me? I need a job." That's a good thing to ask God for, isn't it? So I just said to him a little bit, says, "Well, are you getting up in the morning going through the newspapers?" Most of you don't even know what a newspaper is now. Now, it's seek.com or something. So, no, I don't do that. He says, "Well, have you put your name? Have you done anything?" And he says, "No, I've done anything." He says, "But you believe in God for a job." Well, it's not magic. Yes, you have to do something. You've got to believe God's got that job there for you. And you've actually got to go out and find it because God's going to give you the job. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Faith without action, James says, is dead. Yeah. So praise the Lord. I did pray for him, but he got it. He got it in his heart. Next day, I'm driving to the church, to my office, and there he is standing on the side of the road with a sign saying, "Looking for work." Zero, you know, had his number up there. And he said to me he had 10 job offers in the first hour because he did something. Who would like a partner for next year? Come on, any boys or girls here? I'm not going to marry you off now. It's okay. No one's looking for anybody. Okay, you're all going to die celibate. Okay. I have young men come to me all the time. How do you get a girl? It's one of the scariest things in the world now is how boys get girls, because we don't know how to do it anymore since we've gotten rid of arranged marriages. I'm a believer in arranged marriages. And I say to the boy, says, okay, what are you doing to get a girl? So let me give you a few tips. Put on a deodorant. Be nice. If you see a girl that you like, smile at her. Just smile. And hold her gaze for 8 seconds. If she keeps on looking at you for more than 8 seconds, then there's a possibility that there might be something there. You can explore it. If she turns away, then move on. But unless you do something, you're not going to get a partner, are you? You actually have to do something. And they're so scary. And I make them all a money-back guarantee. I guarantee you, if you ask 10 girls out on a date, one of them will be your wife. I've not had one fail yet. Not one yet. So sow to yourselves, sow for yourselves in righteousness. There's the possibility this year. Let me give you the seed of thought here for what can you sow for yourselves that's right, that extends a kingdom, that's going to give you the harvest that you want. I've worked with troubled youth for most of my life, particularly with Adult and Teen Challenge, and still working with people that live very, very messy lives. And one of the things I find often interesting is that they get to a position where now their sin is beginning to hurt them. When sin is still fun, people keep on doing it. There comes a point in time where your sin begins to hurt you, and then they can be a little bit more change ready. And they may come into our program of Teen Challenge or come under the auspices of our pastoral care, and they want everything to be fixed straight away. We work with a man, for example, who's just come out of prison, who's upset two outlaw motorcycle gangs. He's got two groups of very bad people who want to kill him. It's not a good place to be. Really bad place to be. And he wants it to change. And I've had to say to this gentleman, well, you know, bless God now that you've rediscovered your faith. That's a good thing. One of you, all that is good things. But what you're experiencing now is the harvest of what you sowed in your life 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years. You understand? What you're experiencing now is what you sowed in 2024. If you want a different 2025, you've got to sow new seed. And here's the law, and we'll come to this, I'll reinforce it a little bit later. I cannot change your harvest. God can't change your harvest. What we can do is change your seed. If you now begin to sow the things that you want in life, you will start to get a harvest of the things that you want. Does that make sense? Oh, didn't make sense. Okay, sorry. So there's this responsibility on us for us to put the effort into the soil and the soil and cleansing it. The righteous man never gives up. If you sow a thought, you reap an act. If you sow an act, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, then you reap a character. You sow the character, then sadly, you reap a destiny, a lifestyle, which will then determine the rest of your life. So important that you get that right even now. Sow to yourselves righteousness, and you will reap then the fruit. My second point is you'll reap the fruit. The word in Hebrew here is the word chesed. Turn to your neighbour and say, chesed. You've got to get that guttural going. Yeah, the more spit, the better. Chesed. Chesed. This is covenantal language. It's the word that's often translated in some Bibles as loving kindness. or as God's faithfulness or God's love. It's a covenantal term. It means that God has committed to love you, faithfully in all seasons with no shade or variation. So we sow the righteousness, but what our harvest is God's unfailing love, which is all we need. Some of the stuff that we are wanting actually will be absolutely sorted out when we live and experience God's wonderful love in our lives, the chesed of God, his powerful covenantal walk. I've been trying to lose weight. As you get to my age, it gets a bit harder. And the other day, I'm standing on the scales in the bathroom, and my wife walks by, and she sees that I've sucked it in. It's not bad when I suck it in. Yeah, a bit giddy, but you suck it in. It still looks all right for my age. And she said to me, says, Mike, that's not going to help you at all when you're just doing that. And I says, well, it helps me a lot because now I can actually see what the scales say. You'll never get the right results until you take the right action. You'll never reap the right fruit unless you sow the right seed. So let me give you a few quick sowing lessons. You will always reap what you sow. It's the law of the harvest. It's Galatians chapter 6. Don't be deceived. Hello. He's writing to Christians. You can be deceived in this area. But whatever you sow, you shall reap. Whatever you sow. The good news is, if you sow righteousness into the life and the spirit, that's what you'll reap. If you sow to the other stuff, from that corruption of the flesh, you will always reap. If you want to receive love, what do you have to do? Sow love. If you want friends, you've got to sow friendship. How many people have I heard over the years, oh, I've got no friends, can't find any friends. Well, how friendly are you? When's the last time you invited someone home for chai? When's the last time you took the effort to put on some noodles? If you want friendship, if you want love, if you want peace, why don't you sow it? Because you will reap it. Guaranteed, you will reap it. And here's the thing, depending on how good your soil is, some of you will reap 30-fold. That'd be all right. I'd be happy with a 30-fold increase. Some of you will reap 60-fold, and some of you, through the amazing blessing of God, will even reap 100-fold. It's also true that you'll reap later than when you sow it. Do you know there's a gap between sowing time and harvest time? There's a gap. And often that is our challenge, is that we don't remain consistent in the gap. But you will reap. Just be patient. We live now in this instant world. We've got instant noodles and instant coffee and, you know, microwave food. You know, we stand at the microwave door, rattling the door. It's not fast enough. Beep, 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 beep. We want it all now. The things that really matter in life take a little bit longer. Give it some time and remember that the harvest is coming. That's good news. The harvest is coming. If you've been faithful in your finances, the harvest is coming. If you've been faithful in your relationship, the harvest is coming. If you've been faithful in whatever area of life, God is not to be mocked on this. You will receive your harvest. But part of the law of sowing and reaping involves breaking up your fallow ground. So if you want to get started on the right foot in terms of your ploughing, be sensible and make the soil of your life as good as it can be. Pull out the weeds, the things that might suffocate life. Pull out the rocks. Break up that fallow ground. And what that practically looks like is you've got to get out of, oh, do I dare say this, Cassie? I don't know if I should say, I don't know, maybe I'll get you in trouble, but I'll get your permission to say this thing. It means you've got to actually get out of your comfort zone. Breaking up your fallow ground means doing something that you actually probably don't want to do to begin with. Do I really have to forgive that person? Well, yeah, if you want to live in forgiveness, then you've got to sow forgiveness. Do I really got to love that person? Well, depends what you want to reap, isn't it? You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to get out of the boat of your security. If nothing changes, guess what? Nothing changes. Oh, that's the big one for the day. Quote Pastor Mike Keating, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. If you want some change in your life, then you have to introduce some change. That means getting out of the comfort zone, trusting in God's plan, trusting in God's timing, and trusting in God through all your different situations. Submerging it in prayer. And then there is this timing aspect. Like the frog underneath the lawnmower, timing's everything, okay? If you want to say it like, timing. And this is what our text says, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, now is the time to seek the Lord. You know what time it is? It's not the 19th of January, it is the 19th of January. But now is the time to seek the Lord. So here's the picture Hosea has. Yeah, sow to yourselves the seed. That's a good thing to do. You're going to reap in the chesed of God, but now's the time to pray, to wait upon the Lord until it comes to being. This is where we often will get messed up, is that we will plant our seed and walk away. We'll plant our seed and ignore it. We'll plant our seed and dig it up to see if it's growing. But the text says, pray, pray, pray. What does God want us to do is now is to seek the Lord over our seed until the answer does manifest itself. John 15:10 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to make it. God wants you to have a great harvest. And what he's saying to you is plant good seed. If I want tomatoes, what seeds do I need to use? Tomato seeds. If I plant tomato seeds and I'm wanting beetroot, then who's the dummy? I am. Be careful, be discerning over the seed that you sow in your relationships and into the kingdom, because you will reap what you sow. It is the law of the harvest. So 2025, staying alive, that's a good theory. Ceasing to strive, that's another option. 2025, choosing to revive, these are all possibilities. But I can guarantee you, you can choose your future by the seed that you sow. I can predict your harvest if you show me the seed that you sow. It is time to seek the Lord. Hosea 12 says that this is how we construct our harvest. As it stands right now, you and I don't have a future. We only have yesterday and now. I can't guarantee tomorrow. I can't guarantee even my next second on planet Earth. We have no future apart from that which we set ourselves up for and the mercy and the grace and the plan of God. But you have a great deal of shaping over it. My executive pastor sadly had her parents go to a holiday in Thailand. They're a slightly elderly couple. But as they're crossing the road in Thailand last week, a motorcycle hits them and they both are killed outright. That wasn't the expectation. They're going on a holiday. This elderly couple have saved and worked their whole life are instantly killed in that moment of time. So we have no future, but we have today. And the Bible says that today is the time of decision. This is the time when we get to choose. Now is the day of salvation. True? Now is the day of choice. Your choice, your consequences. Your choice, your outcomes. So you can have a bleak future or a bright future. You can choose what sort of wrinkles you get on your face. There's an idea. Because you go around like this the whole time. Guess what? You're going to die that way too. You're going to have a big smile on your face. You're going to have laughter lines on your face. You do get to choose vibrancy, mundaneness, the life as you know. God has a plan for your life, and you will be able to access it, but he needs you to cooperate by sowing the right things into your life. Friends, you do create your future. It doesn't exist until you decide what it should be. Your life is what you make it, and the decisions means how you get there. You make today your carryover into your tomorrow, the next day, and the rest of your life. The future is nothing more than an extrapolation of your present moment and choices into the future. Challenge yourself to be what God wants you to be. All's well that begins well. In 1988, a group of terrorists ran into the Maharaja Hotel in Mumbai. I've had the privilege of going to this spectacular colonial building, getting a cup of tea there or coffee because that's all I could afford. Beautiful place. And one of the terrorists was a 21-year-old who'd gone into the building strapped to explosives to himself, and he died killing innocent people just staying in this hotel. Remarkably, a little bit earlier than that, a 21-year-old female, single lady, went to India. And when she died, all of India came out to line the roads and to celebrate, mourn her passing. We probably know her as Mother Teresa. One 21-year-old terrorist, another 21-year-old lady made different choices. But what a difference it made. What a difference it made. You're a younger person today. I want you to really understand this. Choose to live for God. You know, it's more than just I'm coming to Jesus. About make that decision today. I'm going to go hard for God. His plan for my life. His plan for my life. And go for it. And you will live the most amazing life. Whoever you are, choose your seed, choose your future. There are people here today that I believe God would have you to have a great harvest. And he wants to just encourage you. Sow the right seed. Last story. There's a man walking down the road. He sees a shop. It's a tree shop. He thought, oh, that's nice. Buy trees here. I'll go into the tree shop. Walks into the tree shop. And there's lots of jars everywhere. But you can see no trees. Goes up to the counter and says to the shop assistant, oh, I was hoping I might be able to buy some trees. He says, well, yes, sir. You can have any tree that you really want. We've got Jarrah trees, we've got lemon scented gums, we've got eucalypts, you know, we've got pine trees. Says, but where are they? He says, sorry, you might not understand. We don't sell the full tree. We sell the small tree. We sell it in seed form. Seeds. Seeds are so powerful. So powerful. And today, if you feel God's spoken to you, then we'd love to pray with you. Pray over your seed. There are those, the Proverbs talks about those who sow in tears that reap in happiness. But whatever you sow, you will reap. Amen. God bless you. I'll just hand over our team now. We've got a prayer team here. And if you want to, if you feel need to, we'd love to pray for you. And for your 2025, that your seed will come alive. Amen. Amen.